Hi everyone, welcome back to Be More, where we inspire you to be a little bit more of every role within the Salesforce ecosystem. And today's an episode I've been looking forward to for a while. I don't know much about this area, but we are trying to inspire you to be more B2C commerce. And I'm delighted to be joined by Thomas today. And we're going to be diving into this subject a little bit more. So maybe, Thomas, you want to start by introducing yourself for our audience, please?
Yeah, so hi, and thank you for having me. I'm Thomas. I am from Belgium. I have been active in B2C Commerce Cloud now for a bit more than six years. I am married. I have two wonderful children of 2 and 4 who keep me busy. Well, they're keeping me busy. Let's just keep it at that. And besides, well, work, I'm also active working in a blog. I am active also in the theater. My wife likes to be on stage. I do not.
So yeah, thanks again for joining us today. And certainly when I was kind of planning this session, I was thinking, we could share the love for commerce. Your name kind of came to mind straight away as kind of one of the few people I know in particular, like in B2C commerce. So maybe just for the purposes of this session, pretend that your role is B2C commerce. So I guess primarily implementation consultant. What would you describe that role to be? Like, how would you introduce it to us?
Yeah, so as a consulting partner for B2C Commerce Cloud, what you're mainly responsible for is going to a customer, understanding what they want to achieve with online and offline channels to sell product. I mean, B2C Commerce Cloud is mostly used in retail. So think about selling shoes, selling clothing, or maybe tickets to a venue. And you're going to go to a customer, understand their challenges, look at their current platform, and basically suggest a way of implementing that project on B2C Commerce Cloud, and while helping them from step one to full implementation, going live, marketing that implementation, and then keeping that site up and running. Because one of the things, an implementation of a Commerce Cloud website is never done. I mean, e-commerce doesn't stand still. There's always new features happening.
I think that's awesome. That definitely kind of helps me understand it a little bit more. Kind of leaning in a little bit on one of those points you made, how do you find yourself keeping up to date? Is that something you struggle with, or are there any kind of particular tools or resources that you would kind of point people to that kind of help you with that?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to look at B2C Commerce Cloud, it is not like the core platform. It's a completely different stack, just like Marketing Cloud. It was an acquisition, and it runs completely on, well, behind the scenes, it's Java. But the front end and the back end, the way that we develop on B2C Commerce Cloud is JavaScript. So when you know it's JavaScript, it's also quite handy because it's also a language where you can do a lot of things, Node.js, React, Angular, etc. There's all kinds of libraries out there that really help you to keep up to date. And one of the biggest decisions 2 years ago by B2C Commerce Cloud is to choose the React stack for the front end, which means a public library, not Lightning Web Runtime, which is a bit making it a bit harder for people to convert from core to B2C Commerce Cloud, but they chose to go with React. And that's also maybe a direction to help to keep up to date, is to just follow along with what Salesforce is doing. I mean, as an enterprise, I like to see that we're straggling a little behind. If you look at enterprise, they always wait for something to be stable and not the latest and greatest, but stable and also close to latest and greatest. And that also is a good direction. Like, there's huge changes every 5 years within B2C Commerce Cloud that basically force you to stay up to date. Well, every 5 years, the front end is refreshed because consumers, people that buy on a website, have different expectations. If you look at 10, 12 years ago, mobile was not as necessary as it was now. If you look at 2007, 2005, if you compare it to now, everybody's buying on mobile application, and you need to stay up to date with those challenges. And Salesforce has the responsibility to also be up to date with these selling channels, because if they don't, then they're going to lose to the competition. That basically forces us to, well, go along and learn all of these new things. So, well, basically just following what Salesforce is doing is one way. And of course, like I said, it's JavaScript. You can follow along the general Udemy courses, etc. There's a plethora of things available for JavaScript development, and not just Salesforce. Only thing is Trailhead, not so much a handy tool as it is for core for learning. I think if there's one development trail on...
Yeah, they're not hands-on, though. Few.
They're not hands-on. There's nothing like super badges or points that you can score, mostly just explaining functionality. But for a developer, it's not going to be easy to use Trailhead. Now, on the Partner Learning Camp, if you're a consultancy or an ISV, get access to the Partner Learning Camp. There are some hands-on exercises that you can do to learn the platform. But I think that's about it. Everything besides that is generic JavaScript knowledge.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's great. And that certainly helps anybody in the audience trying to learn more. And kind of forgive my ignorance here, but as you've said, and it's probably going to come up again, like it's not on core, it's outside primarily. Does that mean it falls into the general Salesforce release cycle, or does it fall elsewhere in times of like spring, summer, winter?
No. So it has completely different release cycles, even I think 3 different release cycles. So like I said, 2 years ago, they switched the front end to React. That's a headless setup, meaning that the front and the back are completely separate things, like separate servers. They basically talk to each other with APIs.
Yeah.
And the front end, where it's hosted on, has a release cycle because it needs to be updated architecturally and all of the stuff that make that thing up and running. You have the front end, which has a separate release cycle, so it's a open source project that's available on GitHub, gets its updates, etc. And well, basically you have to get those updates within your own project if you want to. You don't have to, so that's a release cycle you can choose to follow or not, but it is advised to keep up to date. Then the second one is the APIs.
Yeah.
So you have your front end talking to your APIs that has a separate release cycle. I think a few times even a month. If I look at the release notes, like there's every week, there's like a release note going on. Mm-hmm. And then the final one is the back end, which has a monthly release cycle from January to October. And the reason for that is the holiday period, because a lot of shoppers, you have like Black Friday, you have a lot of different holidays. Christmas is one of them. You have, well, from other religions, you also have the holidays exactly all happening at the same time. And they do not want to do big releases during that moment. And then in January, hopefully we get a big update saying, hey, this is all of the work that we've been doing for the past 3 months, but have not been releasing. So we don't have something like summer releases or what the core platform is doing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's awesome. I could definitely relate to the kind of change freeze period. I've worked with a couple of customers in retail, and for one of them in particular, yeah, we did the same thing. I mean, yeah, it was on core. Same principle, we froze all changes from the end of September, I think, until January because of Black Friday and Christmas and other seasonal holidays and religious festivals and things. It's a busy time of year, and you don't want like your business critical system being updated and perhaps having some downtime. Like that's a nightmare, you know? So in terms of a project, and say this is an implementation or an ongoing support project, what type of role do you usually play, and how does that interact with other roles?
Yeah, so my role for the past few years is more an architectural solution architect, technical architect. So my technical knowledge is very deep into Commerce Cloud. So I can call myself a little bit of a technical architect there. But I also have knowledge of the different clouds within the Salesforce, and also a lot of experience with other ERPs, BIM systems, DAM systems, whatever you have in your architecture to make sure that all of these seamlessly connect, even within Salesforce, since it's an acquisition. The connection with the other Salesforce products has not always been so amazing, unfortunately. So we made some corrections at our firm to make sure that those connections are made correctly. And that's my role, mainly to make sure from a solution architect perspective and a technical architect perspective that the implementation goes well. Though I am not myself on the project, I support all of the different projects from a high level perspective. Like all of the architects, they can come to my to me for questions because of my knowledge over the past 12 years that I've been doing e-commerce. I can basically come in to help them out. If we're going to look at other roles that I interact with, it's the developers. I also support them with any technical questions from development. So I'm still actively developing for the platform whenever I still have the time. And been developing for 12 years to also assist them with troubles that they have or questions on what's the best solution for this this problem. And the other roles, like project managers, they don't really need me. I more need them on that regards. And we also have functional profiles, business analysts, and we work very closely together for workshops to make sure that the tickets are clear for developers. We also talk to the customer. It's really a symbiotic relationship from the architect and the business analyst to make sure that everything within a project goes well. I also, I'm head of commerce at Forward. I am the technical part of the duo. Yep. I have a business analyst next to me that's also a similar role like me, hovering above all the project, making sure that everyone keeps up to date, knows what's going on in the ecosystem, and supporting all of the different projects where we can or where we're necessary. So also when someone does their first project, their first workshop, probably me and my buddy Jan are hovering over that project, helping them do their work, prepare for their first workshop, say, these are the questions you're going to be asking and make sure that you get your answers here. Maybe we're even joining in those workshops and assisting them, seeing that they're asking the right questions and subtly nudging them if they forget a question through Slack, saying, hey, you forgot to ask this question, to make sure that during that initial analysis phase that they get all of the information necessary to come to a good conclusion, that they can come up with a plan and bring that project to a success. So we like to work in Agile, but it's more like a combination of waterfall and Agile, because most retail customers want a budget and a clear timeline beforehand. We call it controlled Agile, where we do the analysis beforehand. We give a clear timeline, which can shift, of course, when we're starting and we see a sprint is not being made. We're shifting and we keep people up to date. Hey, the deadline has shifted 2 weeks because, this sprint wasn't made, etc. So that's also important. I think that all projects within Salesforce are somewhere in that range of agility and probably waterfall. And everyone has their way of doing things. But I think most projects on that particular area are similar. What might be different compared to how other companies do it is that we include a lot of people in the pre-sales and also the initial workshops. The business analyst will be there from the start, the architect will be there from the start, project manager will be there from the start, and we will be inviting people that handle Izio, all of the integrations. We will put them all together in one room, because for me the analysis phase is the most important phase of everything. If you don't do that correctly, then the entire project is not gonna end up well. It's similar to core in that regards. I mean, you need to capture all of the different things. The only biggest difference is that you need to think of not the administrative side of things, but more what is the customer going to be doing, because this is basically an experience cloud project.
Yeah.
Which is 90% of what you will be doing is the front end, and the back end is already there. We're not going to do a lot of stuff in the administrative console. It's all going to be in the front end. So that's a very big difference compared to core.
I think that's super helpful. And I can start to see the parallel between this and the Salesforce project. Like, the bread and butter of a Salesforce project, if it's going to go well, is the user stories. It's super important to have those user stories. And to also, I guess, give the BA the kind of technical support to ask the right questions or the right follow-up questions as well, because there's a certain way of doing it, right? And you might need to kind of dig into something a little bit more to find out kind of why the customer wants to do it a different way and try to figure out maybe this isn't going to work as well or whatever. So definitely relate to that. So you're doing B2C commerce all of the time as a solution architect. Do you kind of dip into core as well, or is it primarily commerce?
No, so I started primarily in commerce. I think the first 2 years I only worked on B2C Commerce Cloud. That's when our first customer started asking for other Salesforce products, like, hey, we need a new service solution and marketing solution. And that's when I chose one of the two, because you cannot do too much at the same time. So someone else went for the marketing bit, but I went for the CRM part of things because I also have a Java background. I could easily find myself in Apex at the time. And that's where we did our first full implementation with CRM, learning on the on the job, basically. But I found my way pretty quickly on that regard. So I found it very interesting to get to learn the ecosystem, see what was available, and also how that could help the customer, basically. What's available? What features are there? How can we combine Commerce Cloud and the CRM and Marketing Cloud to get all of those different journeys to fit together? And I've been doing that ever since. Like MuleSoft, we have a sister company that focuses on that, gives me a bit of insights on what's going on over there. So I'm pretty also order management, which has come into the picture 2 years ago. And B2B commerce, I have a class on B2B commerce with Trailhead Academy to see what's up, what's going on over there. Not that I'm planning to do myself a lot of things in B2B, but just to see what can it do, what can't it do.
I don't know if there's anything else you want to add on this, but tips, advice for people that are looking to start out in a role focused around B2C commerce. Any thoughts on that?
I think the most important thing with B2C Commerce Cloud is that it's not easy to get started if you do not, if you're not part of a partner or a customer that already has B2C. There's no way to spin up a sandbox just with the snap of a finger like you can do with Core. And that makes it really hard for people to get into this, and also new partners inside of the ecosystem, because they have to send people to the official trainings. So if you want to get started in B2C, you're going to have to, if you're looking at it from our company's perspective, we are hiring directly from school benches or hiring experienced people, because it's not easy to convert people to B2C Commerce Cloud because it's a completely different stack. Apex does not exist. The Lightning Web runtime does not apply in B2C Commerce Cloud. It's all different things. So people need to start learning from the basics. If you have troubles with that I talked about React, so that's the new front end.
Yeah.
If you can get experience beforehand with that, if you have React knowledge, that's really going to put you in front of other candidates in the ecosystem, because you will already be able to start in the front end. You're going to still have to learn the APIs, how commerce works, and get experience on retail and how businesses work, how customers think, etc. And that's also, if you have experience in that, you've been on the retail side, or you have had another role, you were on the customer side, you've been working for a retailer as a webmaster or a business analyst for many years, that's also a way that we would hire people, because we know, okay, they have the industry knowledge, they have they know how a retail company works from A to Z. Okay, they don't know Commerce Cloud, but they've worked with other commerce platforms. That's also very valid knowledge to have. And that makes it also easier to learn Commerce Cloud. It's just another way of working, but the principle remains the same. You still want to service customers, etc. So there's two ways in that regards to get into the ecosystem. That's via a customer and, using a platform.
Yeah.
And the other way is through a partner. And unfortunately, there's no, I'm going to go at this alone, spin up a sandbox and just do things. That does not work with B2C Commerce Cloud, unfortunately.
Kind of on the same vein, really, but if you were to start out in your role again, is there anything you would do differently?
I would stop looking at other people's achievements and go my own way, but I wouldn't change a lot of things. If you're going to look at the road I've gone through, I'm actually quite happy how everything went and the decisions I've made. I'm someone who goes with the flow, like I'm just going to let stuff happen. And that has worked pretty well for me.
You're saying this with a golden hoodie just casually in the background, you know, it's worked out a little bit well.
It tells me I've been doing something right. The only thing I would tell maybe 12-year younger me is value networking a bit sooner than 5 years ago. That's something like when I was 22, 23, I thought events, getting to know other people, why spend my time on that. And that's where the important lesson is. You can't know everything. And sometimes it's nice to have someone to lean on the knowledge that they have available. And that's something within the Salesforce ecosystem that I have not seen, like I did in the Intershop or the platforms I've done before, is that there's actually people available to that you can ask questions to, which I did not think possible in the other ecosystems. Like, you're on your own or your colleagues, and that was it. So that's something pretty amazing on the Salesforce ecosystem in that regards. But yeah, might have been because I didn't know how Salesforce worked before, because I was working for other platforms, that was one of the reasons. But again, networking has been instrumental to in the last few years.
So if you were to look back and kind of summarize skills attributes it takes to be in a B2C commerce role, is there any kind of top five that you would give?
I'd say the first one is get stuff done. I'm not going to use another word. That's one of the biggest skills I think people should have, is like, if you're stuck, just keep working on it, ask for help, but don't just give up. Keep going. You're gonna climb over that wall, and I think that's a very important thing to have. The second one is, well, be open to other people. Like, don't hide yourself. If you're maybe a little connected to first, if you're having troubles, speak up. Don't be ashamed of that you're stuck or that something is taking longer than it should. A lot of starters seem to have that issue, like they don't want to say that they're stuck, and then after 5 days say, well, I haven't made any progress at all. Just say something. I think that's a very important skill, is to be very self-aware and also know that people are there to help you.
Yeah.
And that's something that a lot of people seem to be missing, that kind of trust, like that they feel like they're gonna be punished. I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
And also the willingness to learn. Like, within commerce, I think also in the Salesforce, if you look at the past few years, how many things have changed, not just in the Salesforce ecosystem, but general AI, suddenly last year, 2 months, suddenly the world was turned upside down. Be able to handle that kind of change. I think that's number three, is be prepared to learn. And maybe four, also be able to cope with change. That's also a skill that a lot of people do not have, is the ability to cope with change. And in commerce, everything be constantly changing. I mean, Apple Vision is coming out next year. We're going to have to do something with Apple Vision. I mean, maybe not from a consumer perspective, but maybe from a business perspective. How can we help businesses, help customers within their business? Maybe if you run a furniture company, maybe you can use Apple Vision somehow to help people at their homes. Virtual fitting.
Exactly.
For example. I mean, and that's the change that you need to be able to handle and keep learning to see. You don't have to learn these things yourself. If you don't want to, learn who does know these things and incorporate them in your projects. That's also an important skill. And then the last one, well, the fifth, I think I'm five, is the networking. Like I said with the last one, if you don't know something yourself and you're not willing to invest the time to learn, at least learn someone who does. Is willing to spend their time and knows how that stuff is done, and make a partnership. As a company, we have a lot of different sister companies who focus on specific items, like that virtual reality. We have a sister company. I know who I can contact if I run into a customer saying, hey, they want to do something with virtual reality. I know just the guy or the girl or the That's something you need to really think of. I think that's five.
Awesome. Well done for getting all five. So, kind of quick fire round now, because we are drawing the session to a close slightly, but what's one thing you'd like to change or make people more aware about your role with B2C commerce?
The biggest thing I touched on is that B2C is an acquisition, which is the biggest confusion that people have. Like, if you see Commerce Cloud at Dreamforce or Connections or any other event, you're going to see a lot of core.
Yeah.
And that confuses a lot of people, like saying, I can spin up a B2C, but actually you're spinning up something else entirely. So that's the biggest thing, is not to get confused by the public marketing messaging by Salesforce. If you're really looking for B2C, And if you want to learn a lot about BDC, I think the most important, there's an unofficial Slack community that has about 10,000 members. Now about 2,000 of them are very active that are willing to help you get all of your questions answered. Official FCC community.
Okay, awesome. Perfect. So kind of wrapping up a little bit, but how can people connect with you and your content, I guess, outside of the many Salesforce events that you speak at?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter. I have a LinkedIn, which I actively answer messages on too. And like I mentioned, the unofficial Slack community, mm-hmm. I'm an admin there. I am, well, I'm a Slack message away. I'm not sure if there can be links in the show notes or whatever you have to that Slack community. And I am there to, and I'm not going to promise that I'm going to answer within 5 minutes of the questions, but any questions that you may have, I am there. There's 1,000 other people willing to help. Also for B2B commerce, we've just opened up the community for anyone having questions for B2B order management and D2C, so direct to consumer, to use a lot of acronyms, which is another variant of B2C. We've opened that up so that we are inclusive of all of the Commerce Cloud products that Salesforce has to offer, which is growing rapidly.
Thanks again for your time today. And hopefully when this session goes out, we'll inspire the audience to be a little bit more B2C commerce. So thanks again for your time.
Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments